Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report. Dom Knight here on Gadigal land in Sydney, and Charles still coming to you from the nation's cultural capital, at least in early March.
Yes, that's right. The cultural capital for about 4 weeks, and then everyone... it's just a ghost town. I don't think actually anyone actually lives in Adelaide. I think it's just they turn up for Fringe and the festival and then leave.
Yeah, I think the name Adelaide traditionally means temporary accommodation for creatives. Because I've been there other than in March, and no, it's terrible. But this time of year, it's amazing.
Horrible place. And I don't understand why our ratings in Adelaide keep going down.
Yeah, it's strange. Because we love Adelaide. I'm thinking of moving there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm thinking of moving there for about 4 weeks each year. But can I just also just tell you about Adelaide, which is, you know how everywhere else in the world, people drink Coca-Cola or lemonade or things like that?
Yeah.
In South Australia, and only in South Australia, the equivalent drink is chocolate milk.
Really?
Right? And so not only is like there's huge aisles of supermarkets that's just with chocolate milk, right? And there's all these different brands, but also like the biggest billboard campaign, outdoor billboard campaign at the moment is launching a new brand of chocolate milk.
Wow.
And they all taste the same, but that is like chocolate milk is...
And you've tried them. You fall into the chocolate milk hole.
Well, when you're in Adelaide, you can't... You turn on the tap... And what comes out? Chocolate milk.
Is that because in Adelaide it's still 9.97? I mean, I remember in our school, Move was all, you'd have Move and then they introduced Oak and things hotted up. Yeah. I haven't seen a kid drinking flavoured milk in many years. I don't think it even exists in New South Wales anymore.
Yeah, and look, I don't think...
Does it?
They're all local brands. There's no... As far as I can tell, I don't think there's any Oak milk or Move or anything like that.
What are the brands called?
Oh, I don't know. It's like... This farmers community co-op.
Oh, farmers co-op.
It's all South Australian local cringe. Cultural.
Can you quickly research chocolate milk consumption in South Australia? And while we do, I'll mention what we're going to talk about in today's show. Australians drained their super accounts during the pandemic, and we'll take a guess whether or not it was the richest or poorest people who did that and thereby wiped out their future wealth. Charles, what have you found?
Well, the funny thing is that the top result when you Google it is flavoured milk and coffee sales rise across South Australia. Oh, my God. South Australians drink an average of 20 litres per person of chocolate milk per year. That's double the national average.
So you're right. So there's actually stats
incredible
to back it up.
And,
wow.
Oh, now it's actually 21. They just updated the statistics.
During the pandemic.
It's now...
Actually, I would have drunk chocolate milk during the pandemic for the sort of reassuring hug of milk fat and sugar.
That is extraordinary. What is it about chocolate milk in South Australia?
There's a folk belief, Charles, that in Adelaide, I think it's if you have your chocolate milk, the serial killer won't get you today. It's
because
you're immune.
You get put in acid, and the milk neutralizes the
acid. It's basic science. Yes. If you found
Farmers Union iced coffee is the key.
And Charles, in the rest of the country, neither of those things are worth it. Like the rest of the country despises A, unions, and B, farmers. Whereas in Adelaide, the two things come together to produce something genuinely popular. Maybe that's what the union movement needs elsewhere, is to be slinging chocolate milk.
There's even a whole Wikipedia page devoted
wow
to the ads of Farmers Union ice.
Presumably
chocolate
it's owned by
milk. It's... Wow.
Nestle or something. It's no longer actually owned by farmers. It's just owned by some, GM slinging chocolate baron.
Yeah.
Mondelez or something.
No, it's currently owned by Bega. So it's Australian.
Oh, and they bought up Vegemite. Well, Bega's probably owned by... Who owns Bega? You got to follow the money, Charles. Is Bega owned by the kind of farmers co-op in Bega, or is it?
No, it used to be. Now it's owned by
like Xinhua Chemical or something.
Well, no, they all got bought up by Kieran a few years ago. Is not a podcast episode. Yeah, but then I think Kieran sold them all because they went, "What the fuck are we doing?"
Bega's a listed. This is just us rambling randomly, but no, I do want to know this because it matters who owns this stuff. It's a listed company, and it's still technically Australian owned. So that's pretty.
But
good.
Wait a minute, Dom. If you start worrying about who owns the things you buy, you wouldn't buy anything. They're all evil.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, sure. Bega's probably just like a normal small listed company and everything like that. But they probably, you know, like.
Oh, for sure. Kill their employees. Also, Charles, they own, according to Wikipedia, they own Dare Iced Coffee and Farmers Union and Dairy Farmers. They own all of it.
Oh, right. So it's all.
It's a chocolate milk monopolist.
They're the Amazon of chocolate milk.
But also.
They're like. They're acquisitive. They just sort of. Buy everything out.
And Farmers Union, clearly no longer farmers in a union. So thank God for that. I thought briefly the union movement had a future. Anyway, let's move on to the news for today after this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can subscribe and avoid those ads. Someone signed up to the ridiculously overpriced option, the $20 a month option.
Oh, wow. I wonder.
And they had to go to Acast Plus to do it. Chaser.com.au/podcast, or you can subscribe in Apple Podcasts. It's normally $4 a month. We're getting the price put down on Acast. It's a bit of taking a while. But someone paid $20 to get the episodes in advance, by a couple of hours. I hope they're
happy. That's great.
Happy.
Well, it's what everyone, it's all what all the good-looking people are doing nowadays. So
that's what I hear.
If you're good-looking, probably go for the ridiculously overpriced
option. Because you get gold coins in the background if you do. It's very attractive. The absurdly overpriced option is what it's called. Look for that, $20 a month. We'll spend it if you want to give it to us. Speaking of spending money in a ridiculous way, Charles, the stats are out. 2.6 million Australians apparently rushed to drain their super accounts under the early release package owned by during the Morrison government. Now, do you remember how there were all those dire warnings from economists that it was a terrible idea because people would, you know, gamble away their future wealth? Well, literally, the stats showed that super accounts got drained to the tune of $38 billion. And the money was used for gambling.
Oh.
Spending was up by $300 per head amongst those who got their super out early.
Oh, man. That is. There's nothing funny about that.
No, it's absolutely bleak. And apparently, users of the scheme.
So, literally, the policy was just targeting problem gamblers and giving them access funds to waste.
Helping them. That's what it was all about, Charles. Helping them dip into their super, which was supposed to be locked away for retirement and gain compound. Yes. So, you've got to remember every $100 you access during that period is worth, I don't know, many hundreds or even thousands of dollars due to compound interest if you waited 40 years.
And look, the thing is, Dom, that. It's actually quite a shrewd move by the gamblers because on the off chance that they one day win $3 million in cash and then put it into their super, it would have been taxed under Labor an extra 15%. So it's actually saving them money to take it out now and fritter it all away on gambling, lest their super get too large and then they get a little bit of extra tax on it.
And Charles, looking at the details here, I'm a bit surprised that this happened because there were safety rails. The Morrison government put in safety rails. In order to access your super, you had to A, be eligible to receive JobKeeper or have been made redundant or have your work hours cut by at least 20% or be a sole trader whose business had either closed or suffered a 20% fall in turnover. So within those guardrails, everybody was there. Everybody. But of course, the only people who did this were people who needed the money.
Even fucking Harvey Norman came within those cards.
That's true. Jerry Harvey could have. Maybe he's the guy that has $500 million of super. But No, it's true. It's extraordinarily bad. Just the poorest people as ever absolutely copped it. But on the bright side, gambling barons had a wonderful... Because gambling barons, no one was gambling on the pokies.
No one thinks of the gambling barons, do they, when they're complaining about these policies?
Apparently the number one group to access their super were bulldozer drivers, then factory process workers. The least likely to use them were teachers because they had steady employment.
And they were too busy day drinking while they teached everyone on Zoom.
Yeah, actually, they went through a lot. That's true. And the most bizarre thing, Charles, and this is the most tragic thing, is that the stats here on how the spending habits of people who withdrew super changed. The number one thing people spent money on was ATM withdrawals. And this is the time when you couldn't leave the house. People were going to the ATM and just getting cash.
What? They spent money on ATM? What? I don't understand. What do you mean?
Yeah. Average people, the average increase amongst people who accessed their super was $1,000 for ATM withdrawals.
Oh, in cash. Yeah. So they got it out as cash.
And then somehow there's a separate stat saying that the average was, $300 of people who did it. So it's pretty fucking depressing. It's sad enough to make me want to access my own super. Oh, that's right. I don't have very much because I'm a salt train. Yeah.
Oh,
it's almost as though we should listen to the economists and Boffin sometimes when they warn us about things like this.
I presume, the way it was sold, by the federal politicians at the time was, no. Like Tim Wilson and everyone said, no, this is good because it'll allow people to sort of get money out and use it to sort of pay their mortgage and stuff. Like it'll go on their home.
Yeah.
Right. But I presume that all that money is good money after bad anyway, because that's the thing that drove up all the prices, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a huge inflation.
Now everyone's underwater. They basically gambled away on the
property. Well, certainly helped gambling barons pay their mortgages, I'm sure, in the unlikely event they had any. And Josh Frydenberg said, look, it's the people's money. They should be able to access it, thereby completely undermining the very concept of superannuation.
Because I presume...
Which is to force people to save.
As a result of this policy, what it means that is that in, 30 years' time, when all those people don't have any super, they'll end up on pensions. Well, I suppose, you know what we need to do? We need to expand the number of pokies in order to pay for the pensions that we're going to have to pay. Yes.
Pokies as pensions. Because they're already played by pensioners. Why not complete the circle and get the pensions paid straight into the pokies? Charles, I was going to say you're naive because there's no way that we're going to have a welfare state in 30 years. It will have already crumbled under the weight of the baby boomers. But if you could invest a scheme whereby the government invests directly in pokies, that's the kind of thing that an Australian government might get behind.
I've actually just worked out how to fund the submarine. You know, the $368 billion for the 8 submarines?
Yeah.
What we do is we take it out of super.
What an excellent idea.
And it's sort of little fun itself. Like,
super's there for peace of mind, Charles. It's just, but how can you have peace of mind without 8 submarines cruising around defending us?
Much better. And then, sure, we won't be able to eat or house ourselves, but...
Paul Keating had an amazing rant. If you haven't read the full text of Paul Keating's rant, by the way, it's well worth the read. The sheer bile in that man is just an amazing thing to behold. But his point was that basically this is a massive transfer of cash from the Australian taxpayer to defence manufacturers in the US and the UK. And all that we need to do is just link that into pensions and pokies. So that way it won't affect consolidated revenue. Just get pensioners to pay it directly, take it out of super accounts, take it out of pension payments, straight, cut out the middleman. Just go straight from the pension to the sub, You don't get your pension this year, but you do get a submarine. Maybe you can send them a photo of the submarine.
Won't it be embarrassing to put on the wall if China turns out to not be a threat at all? Like, that will be very embarrassing.
That would be embarrassing.
In 20 years' time.
Yes, if they...
China goes, we're just going to be a democracy now.
Well, but also if they just go, you know what, we've got 1.4 billion people or whatever it is, or 1.7, we don't actually need, we're not actually expansionist here. We're just worried you're going to come in and try and impose democracy on us. But the other embarrassing thing would be, Charles, we've given China, let's say that they're hostile. I don't know that they are, but let's say that they are. We've given them, 20 years warning that our strategy is going to be submarine-based. That gives them 20 years to develop long-range drones that make submarines utterly pointless? Like, do you think they'll work out that but maybe any future strategy should not involve going under the sea?
No, Dom, they don't need 20 years. They exist now, those drones.
They do.
Like, they keep using them in Ukraine, the ones that Iran makes. And China and Iran just signed a deal, like, literally about 2 days ago, including Saudi Arabia. It was a very bizarre pact that they signed. So they could just buy the drones from Iran in 20 years' time, and we wouldn't need our Fuck, what happened? Why do we... Did Albo just get a little bit sort of starstruck when he went over to the US?
Fleeced. Well, because you saw Joe Biden gave him
a pair
of Ray-Bans. That's what we got for $368 billion.
Yes.
A pair of Ray-Bans.
None of the medical advice contained in the Chaser Report should legally be considered medical advice. The Chaser Report.
So we've gone back to sucking up to the UK and the US in the hope that somehow, if we get invaded, they'll step up and defend Australia. I mean...
Well, I remember...
Why would they? Why would they bother?
Well, I'm pretty sure...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Last war, I mean the last world war, you know, World War II, the British were trying to convince Menzies at the beginning of the war to just concede everything north of Brisbane. Remember that? The Brisbane line?
Oh, yes. Although, to be fair...
And Menzies...
What would
Menzies
we have lost if he'd done that?
Because what happened was... This is honestly true. This is not true. You can look it up. It's called the Brisbane line.
Yeah, no, I have heard this. Yep.
The whole idea is... look, come on, Robert Menzies, who was Prime Minister at the time. This was the first time he was Prime Minister. They said, look, we need a whole lot of people fighting over in France. We need all your Australian troops over in France. Why don't you just concede everything north of Brisbane and come at there? And then Menzies was sort of going, okay, yeah, that sounds fair. And that's when they went, okay, Menzies, you're not going to be a wartime Prime Minister. and they decided, they actually put in a Labor guy. Like, they didn't have an election. They just went, okay, let's just change government and not concede everything north of Brisbane.
The hilarious thing about that,
that's a good idea. On the one hand, that's very nice that they didn't. But if you think about it, everything north of Brisbane is a bit of a shithole anyway. So maybe...
I mean, they could have drawn the line further south, couldn't they?
But then it was...
They could have drawn it at the Tweed.
But then it was later on, Douglas MacArthur was the American... commander of the Pacific, and he was the general, and it was his idea that actually Australia should defend itself. So, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know.
But also,
I suppose the point is, why the fuck do we look to America and Britain to defend ourselves in the Pacific?
Well, this is Paul Keating's point. But Charles, also, if you imagine if they'd done that, let's just say that the British military strategists had been given their way and we conceded everything north of Darwin. How the fuck would you defend a border as big as, you know, the width of Australia against the army that's... What did it say? No wonder they lost Gallipoli. We should never have listened to those idiots.
But wait a minute. So, because it would have been the Japanese, because they were the ones who were sort of in Darwin and...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it would have been
the Japanese. The Japanese, I mean... There aren't enough Japanese in the world to be able to hold that line, that 5,000-kilometer long borderline. But what would happen? Like, why? And also, anyway, look, The whole thing is Australia is surrounded by a moat. Like, it doesn't matter if China wants Australia. They're not going to get it anyway. Like,
well, if they want it, though, let's just say that submarines aren't going to stop them.
Yeah.
Given that they're a drone.
You know what you would do? What you would do, this is, if I was China and I wanted Australia's mineral resources for myself, what I would do is I would cut a sweetheart deal with Twiggy Forest back, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and then I'd get all the minerals anyway, and then I'd help him fund a campaign to make sure that there's no mining tax paid on it.
Yeah.
And so it'd be essentially like owning Australia, but without any of the admin.
Well, that's the thing. You know, why bother annexing Australia if you can already get all the natural resources you want? Why else would they want us? They don't want the culture. You know, they don't want access to the Adelaide Fringe every year. Like, but Charles, if it comes to that, I've got a new defence doctrine for Australia.
Oh yeah,
it's called the Sydney Line. You basically draw a circle around Sydney, and you know what?
Yes.
Fuck the rest of it.
No, well, hang on. What about Melbourne? I don't want to concede Melbourne.
Yeah, but if we had to, I mean, it would be sad. And you give people from Melbourne time to move up here. Oh, imagine how they'd hate that.
No, and we could visit. We could still go to Melbourne.
Oh, it'd just be
Shanghai. I bet you Melbourne would become like Shanghai, wouldn't it? It'd be really trendy.
Very cosmopolitan. Oh, Shanghai's fantastic, actually. And we should concede Sydney.
So if it's China, though, there'll be, you know, some sort of horrible part where it's all slave labour. Like the
you wouldn't want to be critical of China. I mean, we certainly
of our new overlords. No. But who would end up being the Uyghurs of Australia? Who would be?
This is not a nice way to
think.
From
South Australia.
But there's always Tasmania.
Oh, Tasmania. Yeah, okay, yeah. Although we want Mona, don't we?
That's true.
We can't concede Mona.
Couldn't you just cut Mona off and lift it by drying up to the mainland?
Why don't we look, Chinese probably don't know much about Australia. Why don't we just sort of cut a deal that sounds good but actually is shit? Like, we just say to them, okay, you can have everything that's like 200 kilometres inland. Right. And we'll take the outside, you take the inside. Yeah, it's fucking huge. You can have it for like $1 per hectare.
Actually, you know
what? Make a fucking squillion. We could repay all our super. We could buy all those subs.
Oh, my goodness.
Which we'd need because we'd basically be only cursed.
This is a good idea, Charles, but there's also another model out there. If we're thinking about this, the best way to deal with an aggressive China, not that I think China's going to invade. I don't read the Sydney Morning Herald that closely. All you need to do is find an island offshore. Do what Chiang Kai-shek did. Just all move to Tasmania. We make it the new Taiwan, and we concede the mainland to the Red Army. It's worked before, Charles.
We call it the Republic of Australia.
Yes, and it's...
And then Australia becomes the People's Republic of Australia.
That's right, a puppet state. And we all just set up a nice little utopia on Tasmania.
Yes, I love it. And actually, Melbourne, in that analogy, Melbourne could be the sort of Hong Kong.
Melbourne or the Shanghai, it could be a special administrative region.
And what's Macau? Barangaroo would be Macau.
Or New Zealand could be Macau.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The analogy falls over at some point. But look, Charles, at least we have a plan. And you know what? It's probably more practical than the submarine plan. At least it doesn't cost $368 billion. So well done to us.
Okay, well, that's good.
You'll have to leave Adelaide soon, though.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to leave. I think I've drunk my 20 litres of chocolate milk per year, and I'll be heading back to Sydney next week.
Our gear is from Rode. We're part of the Iconoclast Podcast Network.
See you on Monday.